Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man show live here on a Wednesday night edition of Preacher and Miracle Man. Here's what we got planned for tonight. We got the verses on faith, as always. We're going to have some fun. And then we are going to talk a little bit of sports action based on what happened last night. And so that's basically what we have planned for tonight. But before I get into any of that, I got, first of all, to say where we're at, how you can get on the show with us. So, we are at McDonald's, again, as usual, at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland, Michigan. We're directly across the street from Kmart store, which is in a plaza. You got Kmart in there, Family Dollar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, basically right across the street from Kmart. And we are northwest of a Marathon / Admiral and southeast of a Disability Network for Mid-Michigan office. Going south, left-hand side of the road, which means going north to right-hand side. And we're towards the back of the restaurant, located near the bathrooms. So if you want to come in and talk to us and greet us, meet with us, we've had a special guest do that before a couple of times. And so, yep, we're here and we're doing this. Now, you're thinking, I'd like to get on the show and talk to the Preacher and the Miracle Man. How can I do that? Well, we do have a phone number that you can contact us at. This number is 215-383-3810. Again, that is 215-383-3810. You can press 1, and then after you press 1, you'll go through the screener, and then it will be alerted when we have a caller calling. And it's a cool thing. We'll talk anything you want to talk about, you know, sports, why you think the grass is greener on the other side, you know, why do you think, you know, the Astros are that much better than the Dodgers, or vice versa. Yes, you don't have to agree with me. We can gladly agree to disagree, but this is not a politics program. We don't do, for the most part, we don't do politics on the show. We have other great talk show hosts that you can call and discuss politics with. That is not what I am doing on the show. We're not doing that. We're doing like miracles. We'd love to hear some of your miracle stories. If you want to call and tell us if you want to call in and tell us about them, we'd love to hear them. I've told you some of mine. A few different of my miracle stories I've told you guys, the audience, about them. And I've got some really great ones. I have stories of how I've had great favor with people and favor with God. I have all kinds of and other miracles, you know. And it's just great, but those of you guys, we've all had a miracle of some kind, but we'd love to have listeners call in and tell us their stuff. So anytime one of your listeners, I gave you the number, I'm going to give it again. This number is 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. You'll press 1 to go through the screener. And then we'll be alerted that we have a call. Now, you're thinking, yeah, I'm at my computer right now, but my computer can't necessarily go over where I go. How about the smartphone or iPad? And to that I say, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone or smart device, your iPad, or what have you. Always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. That's the slogan we've always had. It's a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. And what you can do is on the web browser on your phone or device, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and you search Upfront Entertainment. That's the name of our channel. We have the Preacher and the Miracle Man. What we do, and you'll see our schedule, you'll see when all of the episodes we've done, we're on number 34 right now, but the previous 33 episodes we've done, they're all up there. You can listen to them wherever you are, as long as you have internet connection. Wait a minute. Hey, Preacher Man, is there an offline mode on that or no?
No.
Okay, so...
Well, if they call in by the phone, then they don't have to be online. They just listen on the phone. All they got to do is call the number and just listen on the phone. They don't have to be connected to the internet.
Yeah, so there is an offline mode, but you have to call in and listen. We've enjoyed that, too. But you can also... Yes, we do have the online version because it is a great thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. And we talked about how we have those 33 episodes all up there for you. You can watch them wherever. You can watch them. You can listen to them when you're going on vacation.
Yeah.
You can listen to them on your way to work. You can listen to them at work. You can listen to them. You can listen to them while you're, like, at home when you're going to sleep. Because I don't know of any better idea than to be going to sleep having faith going into you.
Hearing our voices, right?
Hearing our voices and hearing us talk about faith.
Amen,
hearing,
brother.
Or hearing my exhortations or my verse reading. What better way to go to sleep than to having the Word of God going into you? So it's a great thing. We've got some fun stuff up there too. You know, we, as part of the programs, we have my Thursday predictions. I'm going to do, and sure enough, tomorrow's Thursday. I'm doing them again. We're calling it Pick Six, where I pick like six different football games for the weekend. Two are high school. One is Michigan. Another is Michigan State. We have, and then Lions, and then we have another NFL featured game of the week based on whatever else is on primetime, because Sunday night is going to be a primetime game. I'll make sure to remind you guys of that, though, when we get to the sports portion, but I'm just kind of introducing for now. But you know we have all that stuff up there so you can remember it all and everything else. Now I'm going to open and get into the meat of the show, the meat and potatoes of the show, by starting with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this great show. We thank you, Lord God, that you bless us all, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you redeem our time, all this time we've put into this, all the prep, all the doing it, everything else. Lord God, I thank, I pray, Lord God, that you just bless us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that the listenership continues to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And I just thank you, Lord God, that not only will the listenership grow, but listeners who listen will have their lives changed. People will get saved through this. I thank you. I claim that in the name of Jesus right now, the rest of that money, the rest of that $600 for that great equipment is coming right in the name of Jesus. Once and for all of it, in. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless my voice for tonight's show. And use me and show me what you would have me come out of my mouth tonight as part of tonight's broadcast. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are going to go straight to our wonderful faith chapter. And we are going to read these wonderful verses about faith and about all these wonderful things that come with it. So, I said this last night, I said it a time before, I said it again tonight. We want you to participate with us. When I'm doing the Bible reading, if you got a Bible, open it and follow along in the verses that I'm reading. If I pray for something that's on my heart, agree with me, with us. If we take an offering, don't worry, we're not tonight, but if you did, give. We just want you to participate is the bottom line.
I got my hat here. We can take an offering.
We're gonna offer hats. We're gonna do
sports hats.
Okay. Okay, maybe sometime. But we just want you to be involved. A pastor said this, before, that he's not doing no Mark Buckley show. There at Living Word Church. He's not doing this Mark Buckley show. It's one thing, it's church, and secondly, if we sing and we're worshiping at church and you were watching the stream at markbuckley.com, I'd want you to be worshiping with us. Mm-hmm. No, there might not be an altar at home, but you can still worship with us. Bottom line is, we just want you to participate. Now,
because participation doesn't do anything for us. It makes a difference for them.
It makes a difference for you. Right. It's not like, oh, we're bored, we need you to participate. It's, oh, the participation makes a difference for you.
Yeah.
It's not about us. In a way, we could care less. Now, we want you to participate, but it's you that benefit. It's all you. You're the ones who benefit. You're the ones that benefit when you read the Bible verses with me. You're the ones who benefit when you... with that, now open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. I'm going to start with verse 1. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I win. You lost. Because I found it while I was explaining. Maybe one of these days by faith, one of you listeners will beat me. And I'll be like, and they'll be like, hey, Miracle Man, I win. And then I'll be like, yay, somebody won. We'll see. Where I got that from was because one time Pastor did that in like the early 90s where he was trying to see if people could beat him to the certain verse. And he won. He's like, oh, you're going to lose? I'm there. You lost.
I'm pretty fast.
So, like, he'll say, go with me to Luke chapter 2, and you'll be like, we'll say this is Luke 2. It's not, but, and then you will have beaten Pastor, Now, we're going to get into the true meat of this, and here we go. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, the evidence of what we do not yet see. Yet. Evident. It's not evident to us yet. Not yet, yet, not yet, not yet. It hasn't manifested itself yet. It's going to. It's going to. It's coming, Jesus. I see it in the name of Jesus. It's coming to me. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. But he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks today, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. I was just on my page. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists. You got to believe. You can't be an unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever, none of this stuff's going to work. It's all going to be void to you until you believe that Jesus is the Christ, until you believe that he did what he said he would do. Until he did, this will be positive to listen to, yes, but until he did, and until you start believing in God, all the stuff that I'm reading about will be void. What I mean is, you're not going to get that miracle if you're not believing. You don't believe in God. You're not. We must first believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, even though he was warned about things not yet seen, in crazy, wild fear and panic attacks and everything else. Oh, does it say that?
No.
I thought it did.
No.
Oh, let's try that again. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not yet know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in foreign country. He lived in tents, as Isaac and Jacob did, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he was as good as men, descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and the sand as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. Then they did not receive the things promised they only saw them and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were allies and strangers. They were aliens and strangers on Earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and they gained what was promised, and who shut the mouths of lions, and they quenched the fury of the flames, and they escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle, and they routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead. Great to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faith, this would be like this will be like in the tribulation, those who, for whatever dumb reason, missed the rapture, that they would choose to acknowledge Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they would just say, "I'll take a bullet for Jesus. I'll take the bullet for Jesus."
Amen.
Because if you don't take the bullet, if you refuse the bullet, that means you're basically denying Christ.
That's right. That's true.
So you'll say, deny him or die. You know what? I'll say, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so just go ahead and murder me right now. Go ahead. I'd say just go ahead. And then I'd say, no, don't feel sorry. Pull it. If you hate me so much, just pull it. That's what I tell them, you know? You won't get no reward in heaven for what you're doing to me, but I'll still get a reward in heaven.
Amen.
Because I stood up. Yes. I will have chosen to stand up for my Lord Jesus. For my Lord Jesus. And I would hope that all of those who are listening to this program would make the same choice. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and they were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in hopes and holes of the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. Folks, let me tell you about something. You know how great we have it in America that for the most part, we're not being flogged because we're Christian. We're not being flogged right now because we go to church. We don't. We're not like these other places, like certain parts of Russia, you know, where they have to have an underground church,
right?
So that people don't have to hide in order to have it. We can worship. We're able to worship God freely. Now. Unfortunately, like in schools and that, there's things you can't do, but we got to change that. But this is the freest country on the earth still.
Amen, that's right.
And
remember that missionary that Pastor had show up that talked about that church that they had, they called it Whisper Church, where they could only whisper?
Are you talking about the guy that was just there this past week?
This is a different guy.
Or are you talking about Ingolf Schmidt?
It wasn't Schmidt, but it was another guy like him.
I forget who this would be.
Because he said that they couldn't tell where the next location was going to be. Everybody had to just pray and talk to God and show up at the right time and at the right place. And nobody ever knew what it was. The Holy Spirit just led him there. Church would be empty in America, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, any church could be empty like that. Anyway, no matter which one.
But like I was saying, we have it so great. We have it so great in this country. Yeah, and those petty little things. Oh, he judged me. Oh, he. Hey. We got a lot more stuff to worry about than those little petty stuff things. Because he got mad at my son because he thought my son shouldn't have done that. He's just my best boy. Hey, these kids need correction. They need.
You preach it.
That discipline. They need it. And you know, some of your people, if you're like being like a busybody or what have you, there's some scriptures. You got to open the scriptures. You got it, and how it says about you're supposed to tell the truth. You're not supposed to be making stuff up. It's really important, you know, that you just watch what you're doing. Don't try to falsely accuse someone and just feel like, I better persecute that guy. I'm going to persecute him because he's a hypocrite or whatever. Be careful.
Amen.
You got to be careful.
It's so good,
man. Because even though we're not necessarily being arrested just because we love Jesus, we shouldn't be being persecuted by our friends who became enemies. For what? Because you stayed in that church when this other person left it? Because you went to that user-friendly church and you're gonna judge us because we believe that you shouldn't drink or that you shouldn't sleep with your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Or that you shouldn't have kids or whatever else, you know? There's verses in the Bible that are against this stuff. It's not some church code. The Bible. Some of you people, by the way, some of you who are in the user-friendly church, you need to revisit your Bible because who knows how much of the real Bible they're actually reading. And a lot of them probably are reading some Bible, but a lot of it's probably the sugar-coated stuff. You know? It might be sugar-coated. You need both the good stuff, you know, so that what they like to call sugar-coated. We need some of that, you know. We also need the water of the Word. You got to believe the whole Bible. Like I do. This is part of what's going to help you if you believe in for faith for a miracle. Part of what's going to help with that is when you believe the whole Bible. And then your mind, you're saying, I believe it, Jesus. I believe you, Jesus. I believe it. I believe the whole Word. And it can't just be your mind. It has to be in your spirit. Because John Osteen did say, I said it once, I'm going to say it again. If you have not won the battle in your mind, you have not won the battle.
Amen.
That doesn't matter what the battle is, money, healing, whatever. If you haven't won the battle in your brain, you haven't won nothing. You haven't won nothing at all. The devil will think he's got you. You got to get him out. You got it. What you laughing at?
My phone. It's being stupid, but you're doing a great job.
Oh,
but
I asked Bonnie to cast a devil out of it, and she said she didn't think she could.
Well,
I
don't know about it's just not working.
Okay.
And by faith, it will start working. In the name of Jesus, it will start working. And any spirit that is trying to manifest itself will stop, regardless of what.
Amen.
Regardless of what it is, but
no, you're on a roll, man. You're doing good.
Now, as I was saying, you really have to believe. It's really important that you believe. Part of this believing thing is you can't just be believing what you want. That's in the Word. You got to believe the whole Word. Once you believe the whole Word, then there's and you're not doubting. That's when things can start happening. That's when you can start to see manifestations. That's when you can get your deliverance from whether it be a sickness, whether it be addiction to alcohol,
right.
Addiction or
Amen.
Addiction to these opioids.
Amen.
And Lord God, and this leads me to something. Lord God, I claim that this opioid crisis
yes.
is broken off of this country once and for all.
In
the name of Jesus, that may all these people who are using them and haven't yet got control of it, that they will find you, that they will find you and find control. That you'll minister to them and they'll get delivered from this overuse of these opioids. In the name of Jesus. And I just claim, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, that you're the great deliverer. Give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God, if you're bound in something, some sin, like this overuse of these opioids, God wants to help you. God's not going to punish you. You use all these extra opioids when you're only supposed to take one of these things, one of the, whatever this is a day for 6 days, we'll say. And you took like four or five or seven or whatever. God will say, once you ask him into your heart and what have you, if you ask him for help, once you start asking him for help, he'll help you. And I'll say, I'll help you, son. I'm going to help. This isn't the right thing for you. We're going to get you off these. And you know what? You just follow God. It's not about willpower. Willpower is dumb. Willpower is overrated. It doesn't really do anything for you. It's about asking God to help you get off of them. Dealing with alcohol or cigarettes or these opioids or whatever else, you basically say, you know what? I'm declaring a fast on these things. I'm declaring a fast on these. I'm not going to take these opioids. I'm not going to, or whatever it is that has you bound. Cigarettes, the alcohol, the opioids, the other narcotics like marijuana, whatever it is. Or God, you know, Jesus wants to help you get delivered. He really does. Like, Jesus is the spiritual rehab. If you want to think of it this way, Jesus is the spiritual rehab. He is. Yes, you may need some help, and there's great places you can go to get it, like Teen Challenge and others, but you got to find the right place. But ultimately, even if you do choose to go that way, prayerfully, you'll be letting God help you through being detoxed and having all those things out of your system that aren't supposed to be in there. Now, let's go to Genesis 31. Pretty soon we might start having shirts that say, I survived another challenge from the Miracle Man. We're going to find some things out about Jacob. We're going to go to Exodus 31. Genesis 31. Let's see if someone beat me. Let's just see. We're going to start with verse 1.
Amen.
Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob heard what Laban's sons were saying to Jacob. Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of our fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my might. Yet our father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, quote, the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave speckled ones young. And if he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, then all of the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and I saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all of the male goats mating for the flock are mating with the flock are they're streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, which you anointed a pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah replied, do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth of God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So whatever God has told you, do whatever God has told you. Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all of his livestock ahead of him, along with all of the goods he had accumulated in Padan Aram, before to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, an Aramean, by not telling him that he was running away. So he fled with all he had, and he crossing the river, he headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled, taking his relatives with him. He pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban and Aramean in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, neither good or bad. Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters, but captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so that I could send you away with joy and sing to the music of tambourines and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Now you have gone off because you longed to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Jacob answered, "Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me, and if so, take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went to Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he had found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside of her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my father, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period." So he searched but could not find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. "What is my crime?" He asked Laban, "What sin have I committed that you hunt me down now that you have searched through all of my goods? What have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demand payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night? This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for the 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks. and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not, if he had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has been my hardship and the toil of my hands. No, God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands. And last night he rebuked you. Laban answered Jacob, the women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine. Laban answered Jacob, all you see is mine. Yet, what can I do today about these daughters of mine, or about the children they have born? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us. So Jacob took a stone, set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, gather some stones. So they took stones and they piled them in a heap, and ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jigar Sahadwata, and Jacob called it Gilead. Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me today. That is why it was called Gilead. It was also called Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me. Laban also said to Jacob, here is the sheep, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to stand side and harm me. May the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country, and he invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. Wow. Some crazy stuff that happened.
Crazy.
Yep, like how Laban is just hunting down Jacob. He's like hunting him down. Man, some people, it's like they just want to go after you.
Yeah.
They just want to go after you if you're trying to do right. They want to go after you. Like, they'll be like, give it up.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta stand for what you believe in.
That's
you
right.
You gotta stand up. You can't just go backward because someone else is thinking you should go back. You can't just do that. That's not right. Now, it's the greatest thing, you know. It's great. And then tomorrow we'll eat some more. Now, I'm going to move on to dun 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 dun, dun. Baseball. Last night you have game one of the World Series, Astros versus Dodgers. And you had the Dodgers last night were the ones who were victorious, 3-1. Kershaw went 7 strong innings of 1-run, 3-hit baseball for the Dodgers. In fact, for the first time ever, the first Dodger pitch. I mean, yeah, the first Dodger pitch. Yeah, the first Dodger pitch. So the first time a Dodger was up to bat, the very first swing was a home run. The very first swing. Very first one. Basically, first time ever that's happened in a World Series. You also had the shortest game since, like, 1992, as far as how long it took to complete it. It was just over 2 hours and 50 minutes as it got done at basically 11 p.m., starting at 8:05 p.m. So about 2 hours and 55 minutes. So tonight you have game 2. You have Verlander going for the Astros tonight. Verlander. The Verlander who has the JV, the man who has not lost a single game since he was traded from Detroit to Houston. So I hope when he wins the World Series this year, I hope he gets to get the series MVP and a Cy Young. Because I feel like he's earning it. He really is. He's doing such a great thing, such great things for his team. It fantastic. It's just fantastic what he's been able to do. He's got a great support system in place there in Houston for him, and that's just working out very well. He already had a complete game this year. He did, and he did really well. So great. Great, great, great props. Good luck. Great luck for Verlander tonight. I think you're going to do great tonight, buddy. Amazing.
Amen. Yes, he is.
It's going to be beautiful. Now, hopefully, you can get some of the Astro batters to work with you and score some runs of their own. That way you don't have pitch one of those lost causes where you go a whole bunch of innings, you only give up 1 run and say maybe 3 hits, but you can't get any runs of your own. You know? Hopefully that won't be the case tonight. Hopefully she'll do his job and the batters of the Astros will do their job and will quiet down that Los Angeles Stadium. And then we can all say, "Why so quiet?"
Yep.
You know, like what the Midland students yelled at Dow at one point. But they yelled, "Why so quiet?" They yelled, "What?" Yep, at one point of that game, the Dow kids were yelling, "Why so quiet?" I mean, the Midland kids were yelling, "Why so quiet?" at the Dow kids. After we scored, we were headed out by like 21 points. Yep, they were yelling at us. Hopefully, there'll be people in that stadium that'll be yelling at after the Astros have scored quite a few runs and the Dodgers haven't even gotten any runs at all. You know, I'm saying, why so quiet? You know, that'd be something. But you know, so good luck to Verlander for tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be great.
Yep.
If you want a prediction for tonight's game, I say Astros 4. I say Astros 4 and Dodgers 1 for tonight. That's how I feel. They're only gonna give up one run.
Okay.
Will it be Verlander or the bullpen? I don't know. I just see it being 4-1 tonight. So it'll be tied 1-1. Then they're going to Houston to play on Friday. And we'll go from there. I'll have more predictions, another prediction tomorrow as far as how the World Series will continue to turn out between Friday night and when we come back on Monday. Now, in other, we have some, a little bit of football news. We just have one item for football tonight because tomorrow night we're going to have our pick six. For those of you who know what pick six is, no, I don't have a football to throw. I'm not going to throw an interception and have it returned for a touchdown. What it is what I picked six. I picked six football games. What they consist of generally is two high school games generally. The Midland game, the Dow game, as both are in the playoffs. So you have the Midland game and the Dow game. You have Michigan State, you have the Lions, and then you have another primetime or key importance game that I will pick and predict what will happen in these games. And I've been doing good, pretty good, pick six.
You've been doing wonderful.
Now the Lions would do their thing and would help me a little bit more. That would be a bit better. But I've still been doing good at them. But that'll be tomorrow. Now what I have tonight for football is this. The Lions did sign Matt Prater, the field goal kicker, to a 3-year extension on his contract.
Ooh.
He agreed. Useful. You should probably be quiet though while I'm doing this, you know, because
I got the mic and I'm talking. So, you know, yeah.
But sorry about that, listeners. But he's well deserving of that contract extension. He's done really great at kicking these really long field goals. So he's kind of like Hansen 2.0, you could say. He's been doing a very nice job. Very proud of him. And I think he'll continue to pay dividends for him, for us when we need him. Now we have hockey news. What this is Red Wings unfortunately last night lose 2-1 in Buffalo. 5 straight losses for your Red Wings. I didn't expect them at any point to lose 5 in a row yet, but they're kind of back to where they were last year. I was looking forward with a bit of optimism and hope that they would somehow make the playoffs this year. Not as a high seed, but that they would make it. But they failed to do so. They failed to do so so far. They're on a 5-game losing streak. And that doesn't help any. Now, they're still on the road for a couple more games. Maybe playing some other places will help them start winning some games. Now, we move to the Detroit Pistons. Pistons at home tonight at Little Caesars Arena at 7 p.m. to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7 p.m. tonight. I will not be listening to that, though. I will be listening to the World Series instead because I got to see what Justin Verlander will do. I will, however, have that score for you tomorrow night as far as what happened and who the biggest contributors were for the side of the Pistons, as well as the contributors to key contributors to the opponent, Minnesota, as far as who had the most points for them. Most points for them. So, oh, we have, I do have one more, couple more football reminders as far as when the games are going to be. But other than that, I'm going to talk about them more so tomorrow about these matchups and what I see. A reminder of local interest, Friday night at Midland Community Stadium, playoff game. Chemics home to take on Traverse City Central Trojans. Tickets are $5. If you have an athletic pass, though, the passes will not be accepted at the gate. You have to buy a ticket in order to get in. You have to get a ticket. It's only $5, so it's actually less than a normal adult game ticket, which is $6. So these are only $5. So pretty good deal. You get to go in and see some great football. I'm not picking who's going to win that tonight. I'm just kind of reminding folks. And you can, what you can do is you can either come to the game and watch. Say hi to me if you would like. You can come find me. I'm going to be seated in the section closest to Washington Street, which would be Section 1. If you come into the game, here's what you can do. You can park, for example, you could park at, and there's a parking lot across the street from the stadium that you could park in a plaza where Family Video is, or you could park in a gravel lot that's just north of the stadium. And then from this gravel lot, you know, you can walk south on Washington towards East Lawn, and then you'll see a gate that'll take you to the stadium. There'll be people waiting in line to get tickets. You come in. And if you're going to be looking for me, you want to come to the game and say hi to me, I will be seated, like I said, in that first section, facing towards Section 2, which is where the band sits. I will most likely be seated in the fourth row, the fifth row, or the sixth row from the back. I like sitting behind the student section where the students sit so that I can hear all their great energy, as well as, and it's also near the band, so you can hear all that great energy. Because it's great to see all the school spirit. I'm a Midland High alum, so I know what it's all about. And it's going to be a great night. But if you can't come to the game, we're going to be live on Twitter. I will get on that tomorrow. By tomorrow, we will have a Twitter feed. It'll be Blue Twitter Miracle Man. What's going to be on it basically is live scores of various games. Some I'm at, others could be Michigan or Michigan State, or Lions. And of course, whatever games I'm attending, like the Midland High game Friday, you'll be getting periodic updates as Midland scores, touchdowns. If you follow and Preacher Miracle Man on Twitter, you'll be getting these updates as far as, you know, it's 21-7 Chemics or whatever it is. Of course, I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but I'm calling it as it's not, you know. It might be a shout out maybe to the band of the student section. Who knows? Who knows what'll be out there? It all depends on how impressed I am. Who knows? And if that roadside is full and they're being loud, I might be nice and actually send them a shout out too, you know, for doing a great job at traveling, you know. But that this is just a little heads up, and you'll be welcome to join. You know, you'll be able to follow. And a few minutes before, so part of how you know when I'm going to do a show is you'll see a tweet from me, and it'll say, show, Preacher Miracle Man show will go live in 10 minutes or whatever. Yep, there'll be a pre-show tweet sent out, and then you'll know that within a few minutes we'll be live on the air. I'm going to try to find a way to get those onto the Facebook so that those can show up there too. So folks, and then there's also the Dow game. I will not be there, but anytime I find out what the score is at that game, that score will be sent out as well, although I won't be there. If you are a Dow fan and you're looking to go to the game actually will not be at Traverse City West. It's at a football stadium that's kind of near downtown Traverse City. You've heard of Sobey Field, right, Preacher Man?
I don't think I have.
That's where Traverse City schools play their football games
at. Right.
Yep. That's where they do it at.
What's it called?
Sobey Field.
Wow.
Yep. So, folks, it's
at stadium?
Yep. It's at Sobey Field in Traverse City. And you'll have Vidal Chargers versus Traverse City West Trojans. So that'll be there. The winner of that game will play the winner of the Midland versus Traverse City Central game. When Midland wins, that game would be in Midland. If Traverse City Central for some reason were to win, that would depend on if Dow or Traverse City West wins. If Traverse City West would have won, then they'd be up in Traverse City to play that game. And if Dow were to win, then if Dow were to beat West and Central were to beat Midland, then you would have Dow versus Central in Midland is where that would be. So more than likely that game is going to be in Midland, I think. So that's just a bit of a heads up about local sporting events for the weekend. Now, folks, I say this at the end of every show, and I don't just say that as a little jingle, as a little da 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 da. When I say this, I really mean it. When I say this, God first, God always, it's really important that God is first in your life. It should be the most important thing in your life. It should be more important than sports. It should be more, God should be more important than your children, if you have them. Yes, your children are the children of the Lord. Your children are your blessing of the Lord, and they should be next. But God should always be first. So when we say God first, God always, we mean it. And we can't take that for granted. And so before I say it, though, I speak Psalm 91 over every one of you who listens to this. I thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no terrorist, no murderer, no burglar, no rapist. None of this evil stuff is going to come near you. You're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for our Jesus until I see you. We see you all again, which will be tomorrow night live. We'll be back on the air. And we give you praise and honor for that in Jesus' name. God first, God always. Good night, everybody. I love each one of you. In the love of the Lord.
Well, that was awesome. Who's this? For real?
Yeah. That's some money that came in through his equipment. And it came to me in a check in my name.
A new address.
So I had to cash it.
Mr. Julie.